Hello, Honest to God listener. This is producer Ben, and I just wanted to take a second and ask that if you have a free moment, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much, and enjoy this episode.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, everybody. We're super excited to be here today. Once again, I know I don't have to keep doing the numbers, but I like doing the numbers early on. This is our third episode of the Honest to God podcast, and we got some new faces and some returning faces. Well, we have one new face. As always, there's the Benjamin Barron producing over there for us. So we're going to start like we always do, five quick facts. If you've already done them, you got to give us five more. I'm sorry. But before we do that, I think Benedict said he was going to sing the Golden Girls theme song.
No, I'm pretty sure our producer said we have copyright issues that I'm not allowed to sing.
Oh, that's right.
I'm pretty sure about that.
All right. Sorry. I hate it with
Actually, our copyright issues were cleared. Our lawyers said we are good to go
fantastic.
For Golden Girls. We got permission from Betty White herself.
I don't think Benedict wants to do that. Annie, you're up. Give us five facts.
My name's Annie. I'm 19 years old. I go to the University of North Georgia. I can sing my ABCs backwards, and my favorite food is ice cream.
Do it. You have to do it.
Okay.
But you have to do it quick because we got a lot to talk about.
ZYXBVUTSRQPONMLKJIGFEDCBA.
That's ridiculous. You always hear about that as one of the things, like as a sobriety test. Yep. I'm positive if it got pulled over. Sober as a judge, there's no way I would be able to do that.
That's why I learned it in the 8th grade.
Yeah.
That's
JJ, why my brother I knew I was do that when
Luke, you're up, brother.
All right. Here's a good one. So like I like to make a joke that I'm like a victim of cannibalism because one time I was at a camp, right? And I'm like running up a hill and this kid is running down and we collided and his mouth was open yelling, "Hey, we won." And so like his two front teeth like got in my forehead and like cut my head open. Oh. So that's a cool story.
That is a cool story.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Does that count as five?
No, that counts. You just have to do one. This is a rule I just made up if you've already been here and done your five.
Okay. I don't know what to say after that. I'm Hannah. I'm Byzantine Catholic. I'm in the military. And I love rock climbing. That's only four things, but we're going to leave it
at three. Your name doesn't count.
I have 11 siblings.
Okay. Which one's your favorite right now on the air, immortalized?
Okay. I have a younger one and an older one.
Younger one. You don't have to say it. All right. Benedict.
You know who you are.
I was originally born in Philadelphia.
Nice. Benjamin, are we doing you? Let's do you.
Sure. I will do one fact, and it's that I didn't know Hannah was into rock climbing, and I'm appalled that I haven't gone rock climbing with Hannah because I go like every week.
I am appalled as well, Ben Barron.
Hannah, we have to go rock climbing together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm John Henry, and my fact, we did it before. I announced a Harlem Globetrotters game one time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, hello and welcome to your Harlem. I'm not going to do it now. All right, so.
Did you do the whistling too?
I did not do any good whistling. No. They have a whistling
right
guy. All right. So we're going to, today is sort of a continuation of our last episode, right? Where we talked about friendships and I hated it. That's unfortunately one of the frustrating things about this, the 27 minute or so format is that you get into these great conversations and then you have to transition. So we're going to keep going on the theme of friendship for a little bit today. We talked last time a lot about making friends, being a friend. We're going to talk some today about maintaining friendships. And if y'all had been able to hear us a few minutes ago, this place was alive with people having this exact conversation. I don't even feel like I have to pose a question. If one of you guys can just pick up with one of the topics we were discussing a few minutes ago before we went on air. Or I can give you one to get started. Cool. So one thing that I thought that was super interesting, it was Annie and Hannah and our show notes over there, Grace, who's killing it again today with the show notes. You were talking about the idea of calling one another higher and what that meant in terms of an authentic friendship. And can you just talk about that a little bit, any of you guys? Yes.
So a friendship, there's like multiple reasons to have a friendship, but one of the big ones is like to not be alone in like your pursuit of like your goals. And one of those being heaven. The way to get to heaven is obviously to be like Jesus. So you want to surround yourself with people who are trying to be like Jesus and who are trying to have friends who want to be like Jesus. So if you, I mean, ferrum ferro exacutor is a Latin saying, and it means iron sharpens iron. So if you are around people who are bringing, like, who don't have a good mindset, they aren't trying to get to heaven, you're going to, even if you don't think you're going to start going down to that level. So I have some friends who I think really do actively try and make it, like, are actively trying every day to make it to heaven. And it's really beautiful because constantly, like, it's like I don't have to go find some random book author to look up to because I have my friends.
Right. I know. I love that. I had a, I work with someone who says, you are the sum total of the five people you spend the most time around. And I think that that is so true. And it's not something that just applies to middle schoolers or high schoolers or college kids. It applies to us all, our whole life, right? You're either going to be brought up or down, and you're, I don't think that it's possible to just sort of maintain, because I keep coming back to this idea of we're not islands. We're not meant to live alone. We have to be in community. So you talked about a system, Annie, beforehand.
Yeah.
About what you and your friends do, which is sounds super cheesy and wonderful and all those things all rolled into one. Can you talk about it?
Yeah. So I think it's really important when we call each other higher that you do it in a way that's charitable and, like, doesn't leave a bad taste in their mouth. Because I've had many times where I've been called out in front of people or in just a way I didn't like, and I immediately was like, I don't really want to change. I don't want to be better.
Sure.
So we created this system called Shoulder Tap. And so basically, if we had talked prior that we didn't want to gossip anymore. So if we were caught in a situation where we were gossiping, we would just look at the person and then tap our shoulder and be like, hey, stop gossiping, instead of being like, hey, Hannah, stop gossiping in front of everyone, because that wouldn't be effective for anyone.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And did it work? Nobody, like, got their feelings hurt or anything from doing that?
No, it definitely worked. And I had many a time where people, like, looked at me and did this. I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to stop.
I mean, maybe Benedict or Luke can speak to that. I don't know if that works as well with dudes. I don't know if, like, one of my guy friends gave me a secret hand signal that said, like, hey, you're acting like an idiot right now. Like, I don't know if that would translate well. Maybe that's just me tied up in my own arrogance and vanity and whatever. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It could happen.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I've seen where guys can say, like, dude, like, you need to chill out a little bit.
Right.
But I can tell you, if, as a guy, that would not work if a guy comes up to you and goes, dude, you got to stop gossiping.
Right.
Bro, come on.
Right.
But, you know, but it's a similar concept. You know, a guy can come up to you and says, just relax, dude. Calm down.
No, okay. I hear that. I think that makes sense. And I keep going back to my friends in college, but it was very similar, where it was self-deprecating isn't the right word, but they would come at it from, like, hey, man, listen, I deal with the exact same stuff, right? Be it not treating girls well or pornography or just being aggressive or whatever it is, desperately trying to prove that you're a man to everybody around you. And they always sort of tempered it with that, I'm dealing with the same thing you are, and I get it, but it's because I love you that I'm here. And it's almost like that awkwardness is disarming a little bit. And it's like, oh, okay. All right. Now I can have a conversation with you because you're not speaking down to me and looking at me like I'm some idiot and you're up there high and mighty.
Yeah. I was going to just say, for the guys, like, sometimes, you know, we like to hide stuff and, like, sarcasm and stuff, like, hey, the, hey, bro, like, hey, chill out, man. Like, you know, that can mean a lot of things. So I like what you said there about, you know, we talked about a lot last episode a little bit, like, hey, being vulnerable every now and then and just be like, actually, like, hey, brother, show some actual, like, fraternity, brotherhood there. Be like, hey, brother, like, let's grow in this together.
Well, it seems like as men, and ladies, I promise we'll talk about you guys here in a little bit, but as men, we're presented by the world with two options, right? And option one is, you can be this machismo, chest beating, right? I'm gonna get a bunch of neck tattoos and treat girls like trash and just be this guy, just what we call a man's man, that is actually super emasculine, right? But what society presents as a man's man, or we can be this effeminate, passive, kind of wimpy guy who doesn't stand up for ourselves and whatever. And I'm sure that they've got words for those now that I won't say on air. But neither of those extremes is Christ-like, right? Jesus is not the long-haired hippie that we see all the time in, you know, the little pictures up on the Sunday school room. He's not effeminate. And at the same time, Jesus is not some guy throwing punches and getting in fistfights and desperately trying to prove his masculinity. He is strong, but he's not emasculine in that strength. So I can go off on that for a little while, but I want to keep going on this theme of maintaining friendships, though, that I think is so important. And this idea of getting called out. And you said, it was either Annie or Hannah who said this earlier. And I love the line, friendships are not therapy, or a friendship is not a therapy session.
Yeah. Friendship isn't therapy. So definitely throughout my life, I put myself in a lot of situations where I become therapists for my friends, and it drained my energy so much. So it would be like getting calls at 2 a.m. and like being at that beck and call because I didn't want to let that person down. And that stems from like a good place. And I know a lot of people do this because you want to be there for that person. But there comes a level where it's unhealthy for you, and it's becoming not friendship, it's becoming therapy. So it kind of goes into like calling each other out and just like understanding like to have the good parts of friendship and like the silly parts of friendship too. Because if you're sitting there and you're giving all your emotional energy trying to fix this person, one, that's how they're going to see you as. They're going to see you as, okay, this is the person where I'm going to unleash it all. And that there's no way to then like have that go back and forth. It's not going to become, somebody's going to have to give way. And you don't want that friendship to end. You want to maintain because you care about that person. So most of the scenarios where I've had those scenarios, like had that situation, I'm not friends with those people anymore. And it's really sad because once I stopped playing that role, they kind of walked out of that situation because they were so used to getting that from me.
Well, it's a friendship of utility almost, right? Like it's use. I'm using you for something. And usually when we say that, we think about it sexually, but it can also be like an emotional crutch or something along those lines.
Yeah. And I was going to just add to that and say like, you know, get help from other people as well. I mean, if you know someone that's actually really struggling with like some serious stuff, you know, a lot of the times you can't just do this with your own personal relationship. You're going to need help from like a trusted adult who can step in and help, you know, guide that person the right decision. Like I've been in situations where I actually had to step back and say, hey, look, I can't help you anymore, but I know people that can, and I'll just keep praying for you and supporting you, but I can't do anything else for you. And sometimes that's a really hard line that you're gonna have to draw, but and it takes some humility to do it, but it's really important to get like someone who really can actually help in these situations when you can't. So
it's a tough path to navigate, right? Yeah. That idea of I love you as a friend, but I'm not in a position where I can fix this. Yeah. And I want to go back to something that you said, Hannah. There is a time with friends, I think, and it's probably a question on a lot of people's minds, when you kind of have to push back. You kind of have to push yourself away a little bit. And once again, it's a fine line because it's not, oh, you're doing something I disagree with, I'm going to cut you out of my life entirely and just throw you right to the side. But what does that line look like? We touched on that a little bit on the last show, but I still want a definitive answer on when do I realize this friendship is toxic and something I don't need to be a part of?
I would say a big part of that would be looking at how you spend time with that friend. So with a lot of the friends I have now, we go and we do activities. We like sing songs in the car. We talk about Jesus. We talk about things that, yes, we talk about things that have like troubled us, but it's never like the only thing we talk about. So it's like having like just doing different things. So when you find your relationship is focused on one thing, in any relationship, that's normally not going to be healthy. So
can you give an example, not necessarily from your life, but I just mean an example of like one thing that a relationship might be focused on that it shouldn't be?
We can go into gossip. If the only thing you guys do together is sit and you talk about everyone else, then how is that? How are you learning about that other person? How are you guys bringing yourselves to become better people if all you're doing is spending time talking about other people?
Yeah, I always think about a lot of my high school relationships and some of my college relationships that as I matured and grew in my faith, but also just matured as a person, I realized, oh, this relationship is really just based on us going out and partying or us going out and drinking or us chasing girls or whatever that is. And what's so sad to me is I got over that when I was 19 or 20. But you see people in their 30s and in their 40s and in their 50s who are still living this super immature life, male or female. And it's gross.
So this is actually something that like I didn't realize, but once I got older, I realized like some way you can really tell like how friends are and how your friendship is if when you bring them home, like you can like sit down with your family for dinner with them. Like if you're like your siblings can sit and play with them, if your parents can have a conversation with them and hug them goodbye, like that to me, that's a really good indicator of a good friendship.
Yeah. We normally think about that in regards to like romantic relationships, but it applies just as well, if not better, to friend relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Any thoughts from any of you on maintaining healthy friendships? I know that we're in that a lot, but I'm just thinking big picture and with focus on the word maintaining, because a lot of the people at this table have got good, healthy relationships with other people, I assume, who are friends, not romantic relationships. And maintaining can be difficult, especially when you're in a time in your life that's in flux, when you're in college, when you're starting your career, when you're moving around. How do you not establish but maintain those relationships?
Well, I'll just give a little bit of a foundation here. Like, we talked about this last two episodes about, like, how friendships and relationships all start with your relationship with the Lord. So one thing you have to recognize is that we're all broken people, and a good relationship is a good thing. So it's something that's really hard for us broken people to do. So what we have to do is you have to have that relationship with the Lord and, you know, receive His love. And then it's not until you receive His love that you can give that, like, good, true, like, love to other people. So it starts there.
Awesome.
I think another thing is just inviting, like, the friends you already have, you can fit them into your schedule. Be like, hey, I'm going to Mass this morning. Do you want to join me? I'm making a run to Walmart, like, if you're close by. And just, like, including them into your day-to-day life. I think it's important to just, like, involve them.
Well, I love, too, that you said, first you said Mass, and then you said, or I'm going to Walmart. Because, no. But I'm serious, right? I mean, I know that this is a Catholic radio show on a Catholic radio station and all of these things, but our whole life and existence are all of our relationships don't have to be directly tied up in exclusively Catholic things. You're allowed to go see a concert. You're allowed to go out for a drink. You're allowed to go out to a restaurant. You're allowed to go just screw around and do stupid stuff. Stupid yeah. stuff is so good for us, as long as it's not evil, right? I mean, I can't tell you the amount of trouble that I got in with a lot of my college buddies that was so good. It was like wholesome trouble. Like, was it always legal? No. But was it something that was detrimental to my soul? Absolutely not. And I get sideways looks from my parents and some of our friends or whatever, because that's been my philosophy with our own kids, is I'm not so worried about your physical well-being. I'm concerned about your spiritual well-being. Let's be people and have fun. Like, Amen. What a beautiful thing this faith is. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge part of our lives, but we don't have to focus every single second on something that is explicitly religious.
Yeah, I was going to say maintaining good friendships, a big part is just being honest. Like, if something bothers you, like, being honest about it and not allowing yourself to kind of, like, sit in misery with mm-hmm. it. So that's a big thing, is just, like talking and just talking, because talking's a beautiful thing. And then not to, like, say that every friendship you have to do something, like, crazy, but I just went on a 2-week road trip from, like, coast to coast with my brother and then three of my best friends. And it was, like, we just decided to do it, and we worked it out, and we did it, and we just had a great time. And everyone said that we would fight. We did not fight one time on that trip, because awesome. we were just living life and enjoying living it with each other.
One of the men that I'm closest with, one of my best friends, I just took a big trip with him, and we spent days and days riding around in the back of his truck together, having conversations. And he's a holy man and a good father and someone who I really admire in a lot of ways. But we spent an entire day reciting the lyrics from, like, stupid songs from when we were 18 years old, and then talking about crappy superpowers, like, you can run at the speed of light, but only with your eyes closed. Or, yeah, you can talk to fish, but only one particular fish, you don't know which one it is.
You can fly, but only in elevators.
Yes.
You have super speed, but you constantly have cramps in your legs.
Yeah. And once again, was that, like, building up my soul in some way? Yeah, it actually was, because I'm growing closer to this other person who is a good, holy man, and we're not sitting around, like, discussing the politics of the USCCB or complaining about, you know, whatever. It was beautiful.
Bringing it down to the simple things. Like, literally, that's what you're saying. Just bringing it down to just enjoying little things.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, God gave us a body and a soul. Like, your relationship isn't supposed to be purely spiritual. Like, do fun things together. Right. Have a well-rounded life, you know? Like, it's, like, again, the simple things. Just do fun stuff together, you know?
We need it. I mean, yeah. You see the depictions of the church in media and stuff, or what's the song with the, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. They have this idea of the church, of us all just being sad and miserable and sort of just having these miserable lives now in the hopes of eternal glory. And the great thing is that God, like you said, he gave us bodies in this physical world to participate in. And it is so good and so joyful. And we get to participate in it with other people, which is fantastic, right? Both romantically, right, with a spouse one day, if that's a vocation, or just hanging out on the Quest Atlanta radio station and talking about dumb stuff, right? It's great. Any other thoughts on that before I move to something depressing? Yeah.
Oh, well, hold on. No, I can't stop you there. Please, I want to hear the depressing one. Never mind. Go on.
Oh, no. Closing thoughts. Closing thoughts with Benedict on that one.
It's like you were saying earlier, like, you know, Jesus wasn't one extreme or the other. It's just like what you were saying that, you know, you don't have to have friends or all we do is, you know, go to Mass and pray. But, you know, going out to a restaurant with them, they seem very tense. Like, no, that's not fun. But then you have the other extremes, too, where it's people who religion isn't a part of their faith. Like, you can be fun with them. It can be a lot of fun with them. But faith never comes up. So it's just a simple balance of having a little bit of both.
No, absolutely. And as we change gears a little bit, I don't want anybody to think that I'm asking for gossip or anything like that. That's not what I'm after. But I am curious, and I want to start with myself being the bad guy in this story. But I'm curious about your thoughts on how not to be a friend, not to be a good friend. Because in my conversion, when I was having this conversion or reversion, I was baptized Catholic, to the faith, all of a sudden I became super scrupulous of myself and also super judgmental of other people, right? And we've probably all experienced that. And it can be examples of other people not being a great friend to you or you not being a good friend to other people. But we've talked a lot about the hows, and I'm interested in the how nots. Any thoughts? Annie?
Thoughts on how not to be a good friend?
Oh, Luke,
I mean, I have a simple one that just for me personally, like, I know this might seem really basic for people, but like one thing I struggle with is just making time for them. Like, sure. I have a busy life and it's easy for me to just get in a routine and just like week after week. And before I know it, I look back and it's been 3 months and I haven't seen my best friends. So like, be intentional in making time with your friends.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Annie.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, not always talking about yourself and just being a good listener. I struggle with that one hardcore. I was like getting this, I'm like, oh, I'm just talking. I love talking. I just like forget. I need to just sit down and listen sometimes.
Annie was in my youth group for years, and the joke was always that whenever there was anything serious that was going on, we had myself and another fellow who ran the youth group. And Annie is the queen of getting you off topic and in this little side conversation about anything other than what you're supposed to be talking about. So good job. And that was not a criticism, right?
No, yeah. I'm an
only child, and I love talking about, I'm literally here because I love talking about myself or hearing myself talk. That is a big struggle. Hannah?
I would say, like, this is something that I definitely struggle with, and it's, like, very much a double-edged sword, but it's, like, when you try and do things, like, all by yourself. So, like, a lot of times, like, I will literally just put myself in a position where I'm just, like, feel very alone in things, and I don't tell my friends. And then it's, like, that causes issue on both sides, because then on my side, I'm gonna feel alone, and on their side, they don't know what's going on. So, like, I know I already said this, but, like, being honest with people about, like, when you're feeling something.
I think a lot of that, at least from my perspective, is usually vanity, right? It's usually this idea of, I don't want to share things because, first of all, it's awkward, but also in this world of social media and everything, I want the people around me to think I've got it all together and I'm doing well and I've got my wife and my children and our, you know, happy family and everything. But that's such a lie, and you're not fooling anybody. I say that all the time to the teenagers in my class. I teach a high school class, and I say, look around the room and just know that everybody here is struggling with the same self-esteem and low confidence and what all these things that you are struggling with. And it does not stop, right? We get better at it as we get older, but I'm absolutely struggling with those things. And that desire to hide that from my friends is a very real issue.
This is actually a big one, because I realize, like, I do this all the time and I know people do this to me, is allowing somebody to think that something they're doing is okay. Like, if you don't think it's that big of a deal, it's really easy to not want to have the hard conversation with your friends. So you're just like, no, you're a good girl. Like, and
like
it's
what?
Like gossiping would be an easy one. Or like, if there's like a politics thing where you have a very opposite belief and that person has another belief, and you're just like, yeah, no, makes sense, because you don't want to like lose that friendship. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be authentic with your friend for it to be a friendship.
Yeah, I think self-esteem and self-confidence go a long way in that too. And I don't want you to think badly of me. And also, I don't want to have a confrontation because that'll be uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's cowardly in a way. I'm not calling you a coward. I do it too. I'm a coward in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, don't allow yourself to be, you know, pushed around by these other people. Stay true to yourself. Stay authentic. That's where the best relationships come from. If that person can accept you for who you are and then help you to grow where you need to grow, that's a good thing.
Well, and it comes, our self-worth does not come from other people. And it sounds trite and something that we hear all the time, but it's so true, right? Our self-worth comes from the fact that we're children of God. So we're going to wrap up here, and then we're going to do the popsicle sticks because they're my favorite thing in the world right now. So go ahead and grab a popsicle stick. And as we're finishing up, just as a big recap of this whole thing, we covered a whole lot. Once again, I wish we could spend a couple hours in here. This is a great conversation on friendship, but I think what we keep coming back to is, there you go, Benedict.
Thank you.
Popsicle.
Yeah, that's a true friend right there.
That is it. But our worth comes not from others. Our worth comes from God, and true friends are going to be the people who lead us to heaven and who keep our eyes on the prize and fight through all the mess that we have to fight through. Are there any other big takeaway points anybody wants to throw out?
Amen, brother. All right.
Friendship, like anything else, takes effort on both ends, and you know there will be times when you know you struggle with it, but you know it's, I mean, you're married, how long have you been married now?
11 years.
And it's, there's been, you've had to put some work into it, right, to, you know, keep it going
a little bit,
right?
Yeah.
But you know, you want that, right? You know, it's worth it
100%,
and you know you're willing to do that. And that's the thing with an authentic friendship, is both sides need to be willing to put at least some effort into it.
Yeah. No, I dig it. All right, Annie, we're going to start with you. Popsicle stick, read and answer.
Would you rather be really hairy or completely bald? I'm going to go with really hairy.
Really hairy.
Yeah, like really hairy.
That one's already come up, I think,
really?
Hasn't it? I don't know. Maybe the scales.
I'm just saying, you could definitely shave or get it waxed or laser hair removal. And plus, like, the hair that you do have, like all that hair, you're going to stay warm. Like, you can move up
more. In this scenario, you can't. I'm adding a caveat.
I move up north.
You look like a Wookiee. Okay.
Like, cool. I could live in Antarctica.
That's
the
way
first
down south.
Person.
That's so far north that you go
can
back
live in
around
the
globe.
He said you look like a Wookiee, though.
But they wouldn't see me because who lives in Antarctica?
So you're just going to be by yourself?
I mean, I'd be the first person to live there.
Annie would not. Would no.
Bald. Okay, bald is not good as a woman. Just...
Yeah, bald is awful.
Yeah, but
wow.
Lou, what you got?
Have you ever had a near-death experience? So, I mean, kind of that story I told at the beginning was, like, super scary for me. But then also, I'll tell another funny story.
The accidental cannibalism
yeah,
story?
Yeah, that thing, right. Yeah. So my sister has a grudge on me because apparently I almost killed her as a child. So we were at the grocery store and my mom like was loading stuff and I locked the car and locked my sister in the car and she like, it was 95 degrees outside.
Oh, nice.
So my sister has a grudge against me that I almost killed her. So
that's fair. Okay. That's fair. Shout out to Maria. Would you rather never sweat again or never feel cold again? Real quick, just assuming that there's no health stipulations.
No, you will literally
with
die.
This.
There's all the health stipulations.
Okay, wait, actually?
Yeah, 100%. I decided.
Okay, well then, if you can't not sweat. So, health stipulation. So, you'd have to choose never feel cold.
Okay, no, here's, I changed it again. So, so it's either you can't sweat or you can never wear any protective clothing. You have to walk around in like a short sleeve t-shirt and shorts for the rest of your life.
I did that for like 3 months in AIT. I would definitely choose that.
All right, fine. What you got, Benedict?
Have you ever been on TV or radio? Yes, I've been on both.
We've got
the same ones.
We've got like 37,000 of these things, and everybody's getting the same one. All right, big man Ben, it's you.
Mine is, have you ever cheated on a test? Yes, absolutely. I'm a big advocate for cheating on school tests.
Catholics.
We disagree with that here at The Quest.
German 2 class anyway. Where you don't actually have a teacher. I got a 97 in that class and learned not a single word of German that year.
Ich liebe dich. I think that means I love you.
You would know.
Would you rather sell all of your possessions or sell one of your organs? Is this amateur hour? No, it's clearly an organ. I got spares. Yeah. I got spares of like at least one
spares.
Of those. Yeah. Yeah.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160 The Quest.
Let's Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Hello, Honest to God listener. This is producer Ben, and I just wanted to take a second and ask that if you have a free moment, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much, and enjoy this episode.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
Hello and welcome. We are here on Honest to God. Very excited to be here today with some new faces and Dan. We all know Dan. Dan's been
back
here.
Again. Back
one,
again.
Two. How many episodes did you do?
It's just been one so far.
It was
great.
The
second,
it was
so
killer.
I can still count it. After three, I'm going to have to revert to the calculator. Can't go past three. Past preschool.
We'll start with you then, Dan, with the five facts, but brand new rule that I made up 5 minutes ago. You only have to do one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's got to be a good one.
Five's hard. So for the number one fact for today's episode, let's lead it with I know how to drive a manual.
Oh, that's
Let's
good.
Do that.
That's a good
skill. A dying skill.
The best thing about having that skill is telling everybody else how you can drive a manual. I learned on a manual.
Just like I just did now.
Yeah, and the only real benefit it's ever had is me like talking down to others and being like, oh, I can drive it. It's a stick.
That's the only reason anybody learns.
Yeah.
So, to be honest.
So remember that if you're listening out there. The only good reason to learn to drive a manual is so you can brag about it to strangers and on the radio. That's awesome. And we've got Abby with us today, too.
Yeah.
Can you give us five facts, Abby?
Oh, five? I don't get off with just the one.
As many as you want, but you can't go
okay.
under five.
All right. Fair enough. I'm Abby Byron Goslin. I guess the fun fact that people don't really know about me is I used to ride on an equestrian drill team before being in ministry. I grew up in Hickory Flat, Georgia, the land of cow pastures and chicken coops, although now it's the land of subdivisions and new builds. I've been in ministry about 15 years as a youth minister, as a young adult minister, as a campus minister, and as a diocesan director for the last 7 years in four different dioceses. So seen a lot in the church and excited to be here. So thanks for having
Killer.
Me.
Killer. Awesome, Abby. Thanks for being here. Hannah Grace.
So that's actually not my name.
Grace.
Yeah, there you go.
Just had a Hannah Grace not too long ago.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
It's tricky. No, it's fine.
You're rocking the overalls. So this show actually today, Honest to God, is brought to you by Grace's overalls in particular.
Mine.
Right, just those.
Yes.
And the concept in general, but hers specifically.
Yeah. So my name is Grace. I'm a student right now at University of North Georgia. I'm studying early childhood education. Some of my fun facts, within the past month, I've eaten a chocolate-covered cricket. I'm a scuba diver. The reason why I ate the cricket is I was a summer camp counselor, summer missionary at Life Teens Camp Hidden Lake.
Shout out to Camp Hidden Lake.
Absolutely. So that's another one of my fun facts. I think that was, is that five?
I think it was five. Two.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay,
cricket,
so like
scuba diving.
Underneath scuba diving, I have swum.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I've done this little motion right here.
Done swim.
Yes, with dolphins and a shark and stingrays. I have one older brother.
Shout out to Murphy.
Okay. I've been to Jamaica several times on mission trips.
All right.
I love Jamaica.
You're good. That's your five.
Okay.
That was five.
Thank God.
That was fantastic. So today we're going to talk about building authentic community. And friendship and community is a recurring theme. We're going to talk on our next episode about finding Catholic community when you're in college. But I don't want to talk about finding today. I want to talk about building it. Because that's a really tough thing to do and something that I have no background in. I was fortunate enough to come to a school that was rocking and rolling, had a great, authentic Catholic culture, and just getting to plug in, right? So I was playing it on, you know, beginner's level. But I'm curious about y'all's thoughts, your takeaways on actually building it ground up in your school. So I'm just, can I call on you guys? Or does anybody have any thoughts? Anybody want to lead us off?
If you want to call on people, go for it.
Abby's the one I haven't heard from at all yet, so I'd love to talk to Abby.
Yeah, sure. I mean, My experience in college was actually the opposite. I had no community in college. I was one of maybe two Catholics. I went to Clayton State University. Shout out to them for anybody that knows the little no-name school in the south of Atlanta. And while I was there, I just happened to find the only other Catholic on campus, and he invited me to Eucharistic Adoration. We didn't start off small, we went big. But I found authentic community, and I found an encounter with God in that place, and people that genuinely loved the Lord and wanted to grow closer to him. For the first time in my life, I experienced peace, and yeah, it kept me coming back. I was definitely not a practicing Catholic at the time, so... it's a bit of a miracle that I'm sitting here with you today.
Was there any sort of Catholic center or Newman Center?
No, there wasn't. There was no campus ministry outreach for that particular
school.
Praise
God for that guy.
So, absolutely. Did that. And the act of the Holy Spirit and the grace, I mean, just abounding. That's a big part of why I got into doing what I now do, which is work with college students as a diocesan director. Just seeing the need for that and realizing that, like, college really is a time where it kind of makes and breaks people, where we either catch them or we lose them. And so, it's just a great opportunity to help people find out who God is actually calling them to be rather than who they think they should be. Because I thought I was going to be a film director in Hollywood, and God said, ha, watch this.
Even better, you're going to be on an AM radio station talking to John
exactly.
Henry Spann on What Happens to God. That's exciting.
Exactly.
Now, so, Grace, I know a little bit about your story, and I know that there was already a Newman Center, a Catholic center that existed at UNG when you went there. But from what I've heard from you and Annie and a lot of the other people who I've talked to from there, it's really blossomed in a big way recently. Can you talk to that a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever we first got there, we were like, so I ended up going to college with two of my really close friends. So it was nice going into that, knowing that I had them, regardless of, you know, whatever else the Catholic Center situation was like. I had them, and, like, we could grow in our faith together. And so getting there, like, the first time we went to the Catholic Center, it got off to a rocky start, honestly. Like, the first, like, welcoming thing, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm loving this. Let's give it another shot. And then we did, and, like, we found that it was actually such a wonderful community. And the more we, like, got to know the people involved, because that's what a community is all about. It's not just like Tuesday nights we go, like, to this room and we, like, eat dinner. Like, it's about the people you're with. Another thing that was really monumental is that our youth minister actually passed away, like, right before the school year started. So all of the leadership team really had to step up in a major, major way and take ownership of it, which was, it was obviously heartbreaking, but it ended up, like, blossoming really beautifully in the way that they all took charge and took ownership. And then also just the people that God led there, it created this wonderful web of people who are really authentically searching for good Catholic friendships and, like, activities to do. And just, and like we were talking about earlier, not just the Catholic things, but also the fun things like hiking or whatever is going on in your college town. But yeah, I think it was beautiful that people just, like, used their gifts and really shone in that way.
Cool. Now, Dan, the last time you were on, you said something about how you've dropped out of college 47 times or something.
Oh, just about. I think that might be undershooting that number.
Okay.
But my experience with college is quite different from the two other panelists here, because they are either going to college or have been to college. So I've dropped out a couple times, but for the community aspect of it, and I guess the duration of what should have been college for me, was finding youth groups to volunteer at. And a big part of having that community and building on that was going out and actually doing things with these people that I was volunteering with. So instead of just seeing them every Sunday or whatever oddball day it would be, we'd go and plan to go do stuff, which I think is important, because I mean, you're building the memories, you're having fun, you're having a good time, you're really connecting with people, again, opposed to just going and talking to people. I mean, I feel like it's stronger bonds you build going and doing things.
No, I totally agree. I think that there's absolutely something to be said, like you were saying, Grace, for meals together and things like that, but actually working together to accomplish a task. I think that speaks to something in us, that just sitting around and having conversations, it's good, and that can build friendships, but I don't think it builds community in the same way. So I want to go back to something that you said, Grace. You said the leadership team really had to step up when you unfortunately had your youth minister pass away. What did that look like when you say step up? Like, you were, what were you building on? What were you doing that worked and what didn't work? Give us some of that.
Yeah. So it's hard to know, because I wasn't there before. So I didn't really have the before and after. But all I saw was, like, throughout the course of that year, I think a lot of them kind of realized, like, okay, like, I have to I keep saying step up, but they have to step up. And they really just found, like, their gifts, and they shone in those areas. They weren't trying to do things that were, like, that, you know, weren't their gifts. You know, they were really focusing on what God had given them and using those. So whether it was, like, welcoming and greeting people at the front door, like, if they were really good at that, we saw them every time, like, welcoming everyone as they walked in. And if it was giving talks, we heard some wonderful talks with them just being, like, really welcoming and vulnerable and, like, loving us first so that we could, like, learn to love them as well. Yeah.
You also said, I wanted to come back to this. You said that the first time you showed up, you were really, like, it was sort of off-putting. Why? Yeah.
Okay, so for that particular experience, it's no dig on them, but it was just that I didn't know any of them yet, and I think it came from a lot of my own insecurity, but I wasn't approached and being like, oh, like, you look new, I'm so-and-so, like, this is what I do here. So it was kind of awkward, because that group that I was talking about, my two friends and I, we just kind of, like, stuck together, and we were like, what do we do? What do we say? And, like, it was really nerve-wracking, I think. So we were like, I mean, we can, like, come here and hang out, but, like, are we going to be part of the community? And thankfully, the answer is yes, because it's been wonderful. So I would challenge anyone who's listening, like, if they've given a certain community a try and being like, oh, no, it's not my thing there, try again, maybe, and really try and find a couple people and really start to get to know them.
I've heard that from a lot of people. I can't tell you the number of students that I have who have graduated from the high school where I work and gone to University of Georgia or Georgia Tech or something and said, I went in that first day and it was... wasn't really feeling the vibe there, but I said I was definitely going to do this. Or my friend and I said, no, we're going to keep trying. And they ended up having this awesome experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, Abby, I still don't quite understand what is it that you do? Because it sounds like you form communities in colleges. Are you the one who I get an email from at the end of every school year that says, please give us the names of your students?
So that's Newman Connection. We can talk about them on the next podcast, because that's a great, like, takeaway for that. We can totally talk about Newman Connection then. What do I do? Whatever the Lord tells me, hopefully. that's how I've ended up in four different dioceses serving, when I always thought I would only be in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. But I want to just highlight some of the things you guys were just saying that were jumping out at me.
Please, yeah.
Just the importance of going, right? Like, that's the first step, like, for so many people, is, like, you find out about the event, but then actually going to the event is, you know, the first hurdle to kind of overcome. And then the other thing is, like, we know that, like, we live in a, well, some of us know that we live in a fallen world, but a lot of people don't. And so they still kind of have this idea that there's this, like, perfect community and this, like, utopia, and this amazing, like, formula that if you just, like, follow it, you're going to, like, get the perfect thing. And everybody's going to be happy all the time and, like, sing kumbaya. I mean, like, that's a real thing, right?
Right, sure.
The reality is, actual community, authentic community, y'all, it's a hot mess, like, hopefully hot in the Holy Spirit. And not in the other direction,
sure.
But it is a hot mess. And it's a beautiful mess, because humanity, right, is a beautiful mess. And what is, like, the key component of community? Humanity. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be human. Let's, like, do human things. You know, and let's become more who God's made us to be. Like, that's the difference between the secular community and a Christian community, is, like, in a Christian community, that authenticity looks like Christ, which means, yeah, it's not all fun and games. And sometimes it's suffering, and it's loving people that come that you don't like and that are really annoying and just kind of rub you the wrong way, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes it's walking into a room and wanting to turn around and run because you don't see, like, your niche, your group, your people. But the reality is, like, what we're called to is to dig in and to go, know, and then grow. As I was, like, praying about, like, kind of what the Lord wanted to be said during this time, it was really what was coming to me was this: go, know, and grow. So go, get out the door first, know, like, actually know, like, what you're needing, and be willing to, like, open that up to people, because it's hard to be honest about what it is that you need, and you need to know kind of what you're searching for in that. But then also know the community, like, actually make the effort to get to know the people that you're going, you're spending time with. And if they're not reaching out to you and not welcoming you in, introduce yourself to them and start conversation with them. So hard for so many people to do, but it's the key to kind of breaking into something that could end up being the greatest gift God's ever given you. And it's an opportunity for growing, right? Growing closer to Him, growing more into who He's made you to be.
No, I think that's great. I think the idea of sort of that vulnerability is such a necessary part. And if you're in a situation right now where you're trying to build a Catholic community, say in a college, or you're in the workforce as a young adult outside right. of school, and you're trying to get a group of people together to actually grow in the faith and keep their eyes on the prize, which is salvation.
Right.
It seems so easy to just like lay out these things and watch these videos and do that. But no one ever feels secure in a place and in a people if they feel like, well, I'm supposed to be like them. And I love what you said about mm-hmm. acknowledging brokenness and the fact yeah. that none of us are perfect and none of us have it together. And it doesn't matter how many filtered, beautiful pictures people post on Instagram of whatever they're doing. Or I'm married, I have 4 children. And the number of like perfect little families with all the girls in their perfect little mantillas and their cute little rosaries like at Mass is the most annoying thing in the world to me, because that's not what it is. That's not what it's like, right? You woke up in the morning, all the sins you committed that week were committed in things you said in the van ride to Mass that day. I guarantee it, right? And I think with community and with building community, you almost have to acknowledge that up front and say, listen, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not okay. You're not okay. That's okay.
Right.
Right. Let's move forward. What about you, Dan? What have your experiences been?
That is a great and wide question. Something that I want to just kind of bounce off of you kind of talking about having the community and having people accept that the sins are there, the mistakes are there, is also having the community to be there to help you move past that, you know, see if you can fix that, repair that, move beyond that. So I think that's an important thing. Think on my end of things with just community and my experiences with the various communities I've been into kind of does come back to that, identifying that, hey, you know, we're all in this together. We're in this same community. We're all not perfect. We all have our own sins, our own problems. Let's help one another. Let's get right. through this. So I think that's a big aspect and something that I guess my 2 cents on that.
No, absolutely. Something that I'm curious about, and I'll throw this out. Anybody feel free to jump in. Going back to what Abby said, actually, all of you guys have touched on this in some way. When we're saying we want authentic Catholic community, mm-hmm. I use that word all the time, but I think it means something, right? Authentic Orthodox Catholic community, not community that happens to have a crucifix on the wall and maybe they say, bless us, O Lord, before mm-hmm. they eat, right? Mm-hmm. But actual Catholic community, it's so incredibly countercultural. And it's so weird, right? Mm-hmm. It is weird, not weird as in bad, but weird as in uncommon compared to what we're seeing in the world all
it's
around
radical.
Us. It is radical, mm-hmm. right? And we are fighting upstream.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to convince other people to come fight upstream and do a lot of things that are really unpleasant and yeah. things that are not socially acceptable.
And don't always right? feel good.
Right. Yeah. yeah. So what have your experiences been with that? How do you approach somebody? I deal with teenagers a lot. But who's saying, oh my goodness, it's way more fun to sit around and play video games and look at pornography and just live this boring, social media-infused, empty, nothing gray life. And how do you pull them out of that and say, no, come do this. This is so much better, even though it's really going to suck at first. How do you do that?
Yeah, so taste and see, right? So got to taste it. Then you start to see it. Mm-hmm. And so really just that invitation is key to inviting them. But granted, if you invite them to the holy hour, I mean, like I said, in my case, it was an act of grace that actually worked. But sure. normally you would invite, you know, normally you'd invite them to something that's a little easier to ease into, you know, a dude's night or whatever. We did like a Bacon and Braveheart thing. That's probably not cool now, but.
No. Wait, all I want to do right now is hear about what Bacon and Braveheart is. Can you please describe that and continue your wonderful
literally
story?
Literally just dudes getting together, cooking a whole bunch of bacon, you know, and watching Braveheart. I mean,
that's
you know,
incredible.
Beating chests and
sounds
like
a good idea.
You know?
Yeah. I may have to steal
the man,
that.
Let's end the podcast now. That right. is how you
There's
establish authentic Catholic community.
Bacon and Braveheart. So I'm not exactly sure what the female equivalent is for that.
It's also Bacon and Braveheart. Okay. Come on, lady.
There is only one answer.
Honestly, probably. Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. But yeah, so I totally lost my train of thought. But yeah, so the invite, right, is so important. And then inviting them, figuring out where they are. I'm going to go technical for a sec, so forgive me. But like finding out where they are on the thresholds of conversion, that's a professional term, if you will. It shouldn't be professional. It should be common language. Sure. But it's, you know, it's coming from the concept of intentional discipleship, which means being intentional about living, being intentional about preaching, not just preaching, but living the gospel every single day, you know, and going forth and making disciples, which is what we're ultimately called to. So as important it is to go forth and build community, we got to go forth and, you know, make disciples first and foremost. And then as we do that, you know, community hopefully flows from that. Or if we haven't done that and can't do that, then we build a community and then they come and then we are able to do that. But the goal actually, you know, isn't building community. The goal, Marcelo Lejeune, who built one of the most successful campus ministries in the country at Texas A&M, he says the goal is Christ, right? It's always Christ. And so when we talk about authentic, coming back to that, what we were saying about that authenticity, like, what does that mean? I think it means love. And if love is God, God is love, like, how do we show people real love? You know, what does that look like? You know, that's what gets us through the hard times. That's what makes things, you know, become worth it in the end, to love people that are hard to love. And then we've got to have a lot of fun, too, because if it's all just suffering and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, nobody's going to stick around. But got to have the fun and realize the rejoicing of the gospel, of living out the gospel, the authentic joy that flows from that authentic place of love. So key.
There have been so many times when I can think of a handful of times when I've walked into a church or a donut, you know, brunch afterwards, yeah, or something, and you see some guy who is dressed to the nines and seems so wonderful with his, he's got like a pocket watch or whatever. I'm not knocking pocket watches. That being said, this show is brought to you by overalls, not pocket watch. And the way that they speak and the things that they say, there's this very, I mean, I'm not trying to slander anyone, but this sort of judgmental divide of, oh no, if you're not celebrating the liturgy this certain way, or if you're not doing this certain way, or if you think this way, then I'm not wasting my time with you. And that is the world's biggest turnoff, to get somebody to say, I don't want anything to do with this. And I'm somebody who can absolutely be judgmental. I can absolutely be arrogant in all sorts of ways. And I have to sort of cognitively think, nobody likes that. That is a huge turnoff, and all you're doing is pushing souls away from the church when you're participating in that. And I've seen that a lot of times in really great Catholic community.
Well, I would say when faced with that kind of a wall, because it is a type of a wall that kind of gets put up. And I'll be honest, when I've seen that type of a wall get put up, it's because there's actually a lack of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that are going to want to crucify me probably after me saying that, but like, that's just the reality. If you were to ask that person, you know, like, who is Jesus Christ to you? They may not be able to answer. Now, granted, the person who's over in the corner singing Kumbaya is also probably not going to be able to answer.
Sure, right.
You know, can we answer that question is something we have to ask ourselves too. But I find that, what is that person drawn to, right? So rather than getting caught up with kind of what's wrong there, like, what is it that is leading that person closer to God? It's the beauty of the tradition. It's the beauty of that mass. I mean, the high mass is glorious. Like, you literally feel like you're experiencing heaven. And he wants to share that beauty with the whole world, you know, and because that beauty is what brought him to Christ. And this touches on a kind of key pastoral pitfall, as I call it, when we're talking about community, where we think that the only way to bring other people to community is the way that we were brought to community. And it ain't true.
Sure.
Our God is really creative, really diverse. And he wants to capture each person's individual heart. And he wants to heal them. So he's going to draw them in through either goodness, truth, or beauty. And that's how they're going to encounter them. So in that case, that person is encountering him through beauty. And so then the way to evangelize someone like that, or the way to draw somebody in, is to help them understand that it's the beauty that is there. And so what is a way that he can bring beauty to somebody who is not going to be able to walk into the mass? And then challenging him and saying, you know, brother, look, you know, what does this look like? If you have a conversation with somebody on the street, like, I know you want to get them to the beauty of this liturgy, but like, what's the first step? Do you think that's the first step? Or are we going to lose them? if we try to take it there. And that's coming back to the thresholds of conversion. If somebody's just at the stage of curiosity, which is the first step, you know, that's what you're touching on, is that that's not going to work for somebody who's at curiosity. Now, somebody who's a little bit more invested and a little more along the way of conversion, it would work. It could be something that,
right.
I'll be honest, the first time I went to a traditional mass, I thought I was at a cult, and because it was so foreign to what I grew up with, but I ended up falling in love with it and ended up finding good community among the holy families that were there.
No, absolutely. And I, obviously, I don't have anything bad to say about the Latin Mass. I'm actually a huge fan of the Latin Mass. Shout out to St. Francis de Sales here in the Atlanta area. It's one of my favorite parishes that exists. And I've seen that I've seen sort of that almost liturgical pride, which isn't necessarily an evil, but sometimes in all forms of liturgy.
Let's learn from each other.
Oh my goodness. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to throw it out to anybody who is who has closing thoughts on anything from building a community, from Grace and Dan in particular, before we do popsicle sticks, which are a must. It doesn't matter if the time runs out. We have to end with popsicles.
I think something quick that I wanted to just touch base on is definitely having that invite to other people into your communities. I think it's important to, I'll say, have that softball approach, not hit them over the head with whatever heavy stuff that there may be, but to then invite them in, show them that it's fun, it's a good time, whatever it may be. And then when they get comfortable, you know, then get them into the more heavy hitting stuff. Right. I think that's an important way to get more people into your community.
Absolutely.
I just want to stress like the beauty of community and like how wonderful it is, because I know we talked earlier about it being countercultural and uncomfortable and all these other things, but it can also be super beautiful and super attractive in lots of ways. To have that community for me was crucial coming to college. It helped me grow so much. So it's definitely worthwhile.
I think it's a both and. I think it can both be uncomfortable and awkward and amazing.
That's what makes
and wonderful.
It so beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, I mean, this has been a wonderful talk. Once again, this is one where we could spend hours and hours. I wish we weren't restricted to only half an hour, but we have to do popsicle sticks because it's my favorite part of the show. Oh, good, you got one for everybody.
All right.
Good one for Ben. Let me pre-screen for Ben.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah, that's a good Ben one. All right, we're going to start with you, Dan.
Oh, that's an interesting one because I don't even know how to answer this. I got, if you were a DJ, what would your DJ name be? And I have no idea how to answer that. Let's go with the first thing that popped in my mind, 100%. Which, of course, is going to be popcorn.
Obviously.
That's
DJ popcorn.
Yeah, DJ popcorn.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, simple enough.
I really dig it. All right, Abby, what you got?
I got, would you rather only be able to whisper or only be able to shout everything?
That's a good one.
I am a shout everything because that took me a very long time to find my voice.
I like that.
So, mine says attempt to do a magic trick. So, now you see me. Now you don't.
Oh, that was okay. That was actually pretty good. That was clever. I like it.
It's the best I got.
Producer Ben.
Mine is, would you rather be insanely short or insanely tall? This one, I could really go either way because I feel like the world is built for medium people.
Wait, can I give you parameters?
Yeah, go ahead.
You are 2 inches tall or you are 47 feet tall.
Okay, cool. I would rather be 4 inches tall because I feel like two inches. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Ending in the cupboard. Yeah.
2 inches. I feel like that'd be really cool because you could have like one like frosted mini wheat as like your entire meal, or as your house for that matter. Like build your house out of frosted mini wheat.
Okay, I was gonna say I mean, you're vastly overestimating the size of frosted mini wheat.
Yeah.
But if you use them as bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you use like the, you can like melt a little bit more icing as like the cement between.
It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
It's a fun project. Yeah.
I like that. Mine is, would you rather be forced to eat only spicy food or only bland food? And my answer is only spicy food. Shout out to Alan Rauda, who was my San Salvadorian roommate in college, who just gave me crap until I could eat all the horribly spicy food that he always ate. And so now I'm a big fan of the spice.
Can't disagree more.
So it's a good way to, that's a good way to close out. Thank you all of y'all for being here. Thank you guys for listening.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.